Good morning. Really? Good morning. Thank you. It's a rough first service, so I'm counting on you to finish strong. Hey, we finished a series up today, and then we have Easter next week, and then the week after that, we're continuing on with our Easter series of scars. Yeah, that's how you do it. Break it. Step on it. Nice. Yeah, I'd turn your phones off. We have aggressive ushers here. Now are you panicked? You should be. April Fools. What can I say? Brought to you Friday the fine. Yeah, nice one. Oh, I would like that to happen sometimes, by the way. Just me. Comes from the dark side of my life. So obviously our Easter is called Scars. Every scar tells a story, and we're going to be looking at it in Jesus' life and the story that his scars tell. And then we're going to start a four-week series that's going to deal with the scars that are in our life. And we're going to look at, you know, where they come from. We're going to kind of come to understand how they can be changed and healed and how God can literally use those things that have happened to you and me for God to flow through to help other people. It's going to be an amazing series. And so I'm really encouraging you to hang with us through that whole series. It'll be really amazing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to pause right now and I just want to ask you to help us to hear your principles and help them somehow worm their way into the core of our soul to cause us to think and to analyze and view this next week. Help us, Father, to be able to see you clearly so that our lives can be changed. And we need your help for that. So we just open ourselves to it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we hit this financial area, and it's our last week on it, on the earn, give, save, we realize that our valley, as we have said, it is clear that our valley is one of the top five hit the hardest throughout the whole recession. This is it, this valley. And it's going to be the most difficult to recover from. It's going to be the longest to recover from. So as a result of that, finances are a big deal. They're a big deal to all of us. And I just want to say God's word speaks to finances a ton. And the Bible considers itself one of the finest financial books to help us. It considers itself that because it's over 2,000 references to it. Jesus talked more about money and used money as an illustration because it was so powerful. He talked more about that than he did about love. So it's a big deal in our life, and it does affect our lives day in and day out. And I know, you know, there's a lot of us that who would give almost anything to feel freed up, to feel liberated financially. And I just want to say that that's what God wants for you and I. His plan is for us to have freedom and not bondage. And I think it's kind of like God saying, if you help, I'll help you become financially free if you will listen to my counsel. And that's what we said this whole series was about. We're giving you ideas so that you can think about this when you leave. We are hoping this is a thought-provoking series. If you will listen to my counsel and if you trust me and do it, that's what I want to do. And so this whole series we wrapped around this memory verse because we're trying to drive God's word deep into our souls this year. And I think there's no better way than memorizing small bits or a principle from Scripture. And our one for this series is found in 2 Corinthians 9:6. And are you ready to read it together for the last time? And I know some of you can do it with your eyes closed because you've got it down. Okay, ready? Remember this, a person who plants... Way to go. Way to go. And that is a truth that works in every area of our life, not just finances, but also in human relationships. It is a truth. It's one of those principles that govern the spiritual realm and our realm. It is true. And I would say that this principle applied throughout this whole series when, you know, we talked about what I would call earning money ethically. And what I think about that, I think about that's the way we honor ourselves, by working ethically. And if I work ethically, I sleep better, I don't feel I'm ripping someone off. And truth of the matter is, if I work ethically, I'm planting. And it may not be at your job right now, but there will come a time if you continue and keep planting ethical work style that you will have a boss that says, man, I'll get rid of others to keep you because you are a great employee. That will come. That will be a harvest from that. And then last week we talked about we honor God. So we honor ourselves by working ethically. We honor God by giving. And I thought about this all week. I kind of thought about it and I talked about this idea of that giving really is about me believing that God is good. That's what it is. That's what it is. I believe that God's principles are for my best. So why wouldn't I follow them? I have to believe that God is good. And we talked about giving. We talked about it being a faith decision. We use this principle on 2 Corinthians 9:6. By faith, we believe that if we plant and honor him financially at the church we attend, then God brings a harvest from that. And we talked about it's a first fruit decision. And then we talked about, there's just this crazy idea I ran across. We talked about a future course decision. We had the giving pyramid. Do you remember that? And it was pretty cool because it had five layers and we all found ourselves someplace in there and we could kind of challenge ourselves maybe to step it up one. And we ended that with a little piece of paper that we said, why don't you fill it out and say, I will honor God with my finances regularly by giving X number of dollars weekly or monthly. We had you do it and sign it. We asked you to stick it in an envelope, put your address on it, and we'll mail it back to you in 3 months. And I was stunned that there's about 161 of you that actually filled that out and said, hey, I'd love to do that. And I truly believe that there are others of you that are still thinking about and talking about it. When you do that envelope thing, just drop it off here. We'll mail it to you at the end of June or the beginning of July. I also have to realize that I apparently didn't make, I assumed someplace in there, when I said write your addresses on it, that you'd also write your name on it. But so we have a bunch of them that they said they followed your words to the T, Scott. And I went, obviously, I should have made it. But it'll still make it to you, even without your name on it, because it has your address. So we honor God by giving. And this week we're going to talk about we honor our work effort. We honor our work effort by saving. Now, I'll say this before we start. So I did not expect the first teaching of this series to be like as received as it was. And, you know, someone sharing that their boss heard two employees that go to the church here talking about it and wanted all of his employees to hear it. I didn't know it would have that level of impact. It surprised me. And last service, I was unaware of the impact of this next teaching. Apparently, of the three, earn, give, save, or spend wisely, spend money wisely, this is going to be it's going to be a little difficult. Not because I'm going to try to make it difficult. Believe me, I don't like using guilt. I don't like when it's used on me. But this is going to be a revealer teaching to you. And apparently it was difficult for a lot of people. Not in a bad way, in a good way, like an x-ray that says, hey, you have a broken leg, we got to fix it. So just know, hang with me through the whole teaching, okay? I just realized I had misjudged this teaching. So we're going to look at spending money wisely, and we're going to look at it in three ways. The first one is past. So let's put up a slide for past spending. Then we'll look at present spending and future spending. Those are the three spendings we'll look at. So let's look at past. Past spending. Proverbs 22:7 says this. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the who? Borrower is the servant to the lender. Or another way of saying it, the borrower is the slave to the lender. And in the biblical writing of all those passages, this is one of the themes that is covered a lot. And it's about the idea of debt. It's about the idea of debt. The national average credit card debt is $5,100. Okay? And when they rank all the states in the level of how much debt the average person from each state carries, where do you think Nevada falls? Where 50... How many states do we have, by the way? 51? 50? God, I said 52 last service. Let's not put the 9 o'clock up online. I'm already panicked by that one. Let's get this one up. Erase it. Don't let anyone ever hear it. So we have 50, right? Thank you. I don't care about them. They're not even attached to us. Come on. Well, neither is Alaska, but I like the fishing up there. So where is Nevada ranked with 50 or 52 being the best and one being the worst? Nevada ranks where? Third. We're 5,100 is the national average. Nevada is 6,500 plus. So here's a little quiz. It's the only math quiz I'm going to be giving through this whole series. I thought I'd do it the last day. So here's the quiz. We'll put the slide up. If a person has a $3,000 credit card debt and they pay the minimum, you know, when you get that little thing in the mail, you pay the minimum. How many years will it take to pay it off? Now, wait a second. There's A, 3 years, then 5 years, 15 years. And I just put D up there because I know a lot of you don't like making decisions and you hate multiple choice. So this is your out. You go, I don't want to pick one. So how many say three? Raise your hands. We only had one in the first service. Wow. Five. They're pretty much all standard. It's 2%. How about the national average of interest? How many say 15? Wow, nice one. That's a long time. How many say other? The answer is 37 years and 7 months. The national average for interest rate for a credit card. And in that time, your $3,000 debt, you will pay the interest company $10,000 plus if you pay the minimum. 37 years, 7 months. So if you're 70, just go charge things up. And then just pay the minimum. Then you'll stick it to the man. That's what I would say. I can't believe I just said that. I really can't. That was from my bad side of me. So just, if that offended you, sorry. You see, I think we need to look at this thing that debt is bad because of the interest. Interest can be good or bad, and I always view it like an escalator. So the debt escalator is the fact that once you're in debt, you're on the down escalator. And the truth of the matter is, once you're on it, paying the minimum or anything, you're still going down. Because it's always moving you down because that's the way interest works. And so the question is, how do you get off that escalator? Because that escalator is a bummer. And you need to know about escalators. Escalators can never break. I mean, they really can't, because if an escalator breaks, it merely becomes stairs. So you're still going down, right? You don't see a sign that says escalator temporarily out of order. It just says escalator temporarily stairs. And so you're still going down. That was a better joke than that. And you guys were quiet over here. So anyway, I'll catch you guys with those. They're bothering me. So let me just give you. You can catch this. You can go up online. Type in credit card debt, paying off credit card debt. There are a lot of great resources up there. There's actually some .org organizations that can help you with it. We have counselors, financial counselors at our church who will meet with you one-on-one to help you with this. But, I mean, just some of the stuff, in case you've never heard this before, let me help you, because I know a lot of people were never taught finances growing up. They were never taught about interest. And so here's some things. If you don't pay off your credit card 1 month, just take the credit card out of your wallet. Just take it out and stick it in some box or an envelope and don't let it be in your wallet where you're tempted to spend it again until you pay it off. Just believe me, because if not, you get more and more debt on it. It becomes huge and difficult to do. Sometimes what they talk about, there's two ways on how to pay off. Let's assume you have three credit cards that you're in debt to. There's two ways to do this. One way is to say, which one of my credit cards has the highest interest rate, and you want to try to go after that one first. And just pay along the way. Sometimes you can actually pay along the way. The other way is sometimes they teach you, doesn't really matter, but they say start with the smallest one because once you pay it off, you feel great. You go, yay! And then you go after, you know, the highest interest rate after that. Sometimes that really works. Probably one of the ways that I know works well is this idea with what's called snowballing. Snowballing. What it means is this. Let's say you do your budget and you realize you've got about $300 to pay off your debt every month. That's what you've got because you've cut spending. And so you pay the minimum on two of them. So let's say you pay $50 on two of them, and then you pay $200 on the one you're paying off first. You go after that. You don't divide the $300 between all three of them. You don't do 100, 100, 100. The best way to do it is you snowball it so you pay $50, $50, and $200. And then once you pay off that first credit card, you then carry that $200 over with the $50, and now you're paying $250 on the second credit card, because it got me. I didn't think I needed a board for this one. I knew you guys got it. First service, not so much. And then once you pay off the second one, now you're rolling $300 into that third one, And all of a sudden you'll discover that the more you apply to it, the quicker you can reduce it and the less interest you'll be spending over the long haul. So it's just called snowballing. And there are other ways. And once again, let me just remind you, there are one-on-one counselors can help you. And some of you might just be saying, I don't even have the money to pay any more than the minimum on all of this. I'll never get out from under it. And I don't want you to feel discouraged. We have great financial counselors that care for you and really want to help you. So feel free to say, phone up or drop a letter or email us and say, I'd like some help there. So that's, and man, that sucks the life out of you. Caused me to lose sleep. Causes discord to happen in marriages. A lot of past spending in the present can do that to you. So let's talk about present spending. Let's talk about in the here and now, how we spend in the here and now. How we spend in the here and now. Now here's a principle that Jesus uses, a financial principle that he's going to use. This passage we're going to read to teach about how I follow Christ. So it's weird. He's using a financial principle that's solid to teach us how to follow Christ. But it's still a financial principle. And it says this. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, add an addition, buy a car, whatever you want to do. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Yeah, that makes sense. For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish it. And that's why, you know, when you get stuck upside down, one of the things when I talk to friends who have declared bankruptcy and various things like that, the one word they used to describe it is, he goes, it was just so humiliating. It really is. And I've learned a little bit from my friends about this. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be. So to help us in present spending, I just want to ask you, there are two questions we need to ask ourselves. The first one is this. The first one is, what do you spend your money on? My wife and I did this years ago, before computers were the thing. And so what we did is we took out a yellow pad and we recorded every expense for a month. So if I went to 7-Eleven and bought a Coke, we'd write down $1.10 on a Coke. It didn't matter what we bought. It didn't matter how we bought it. We would write it down for a month. And as a result of that, we then said when the month was over, we took other paper and we said, okay, these are all these kind of expenses. So you highlighted it with one color and we highlighted it in another color. And then all of a sudden, we saw how we spent money because it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to try to come up with a spending plan when you don't know how you're spending your money. And that's why most spending plans don't work. Because you come up, you hear a conference, you organize it, and you put it all together, but it's not in line with what you're already spending. Does that make sense? And so all of a sudden, you don't realize that most spending plans are killed by how it's nickel and dimed. And so that's what we do. That's what we do. Another great place to help you, every one of you that have a credit card can get this. They may not mail it to you, but every one of your credit card companies, you can go up online and get a year-end report. And they download it as a PDF file, and it's stunning. I looked at ours this year, and there was one category I said, are you kidding me? I spent that much money? Because you're not aware, right? You're not aware of it when you're flipping out a credit card. And then at the end of the year, I said, I can't believe it. There are 50 expenses in this one category? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I go, God, I got to start cutting that back. I want to be able to give more, lower debt, and that kind of stuff, you know, whether it's with the house or whatever. And so the first question is to help each one of us to say, let's do the hard work. Let's find out where our money's going. The second question that I think is very important is, what kind of spender are you? Now, this will get a little uncomfortable. No elbowing the person next to you. You hear me? No elbowing. Bad. What kind of spender are you? First type, impulse spender. Stores are built for you. You have a shopping list of 10 things you need, and you come back with 15. And you always seem to justify the 15, but the truth of the matter is, you're an impulse spender. And this is how stores work. Let's make sure you understand this. They put the cheapest food usually on the bottom of all the stacks where you don't look. And as you get older, you definitely don't want to bend down to get them. So, oh, I better get the more expensive ones. And the second thing, which is fascinating to me, they always put these sale items on the end caps. And guess what? They're not the cheapest. We were taking my daughter to Target yesterday. She heads back to school. She wanted to get one of those room fresheners because of her roommates. Enough said. And as we go there, right on the end cap, they had them. $7.95. And my wife goes, hey, here's a sale one. And Hannah was already down the end of the aisle. And she said, no, we can get one for $2.50 down the aisle. So just know, those. You know why they do this stuff? They are going after impulse spenders. This is one thing I do. I'm not too sure I'm really an impulse spender, but I go into stores often without a wallet. Because I know if I don't have a wallet, I won't buy anything. And as I walk through the store and when I'm pulled to something, I have to ask myself, why am I being pulled for this? So I'll go through Shields without my wallet. I walk through Costco sometimes without my wallet just to walk through it. And I do that sometimes just to find out what's drawing me and why. Because I want to know what kind of spender I am. So I go without a wallet. It's a good idea for an impulse spender. The next one is a compulsive spender. You can tell a compulsive spender by the fact that they have storage units. Impulse spenders end up with debt. Compulsive spenders end up with storage units. Sometimes with stuff not even open. And I would say this about a compulsive spender. It's kind of a small sliver of people. And I'll just tell you, most likely what they say about compulsive spending is it comes from some inadequacy in upbringing. And truthfully, when it comes from an inadequacy in upbringing, I have to tell you, the best place to go is to a counselor. Because there's stuff that needs to be unpacked. And there's stuff you need to work through that you need to put your hands in the hands of someone who does it well. And so I would advise that if you find yourself being a compulsive spender. The next kind of spender is a reward spender. Now let me just tell you how reward spending works with paying off of credit cards. So here's how reward spending works. I pay off my first credit card of 3, and I say, yay, honey, let's go to dinner and that concert you want to go to because we just paid off a credit card. $150 later, you come back and said, oh, I've got 3 credit cards again I'm in debt to. Reward spending. Somehow we get this idea, and by the way, advertising caters to this. Advertising caters to us that we deserve this. And they have that kind of theme throughout a lot of advertising. And reward spending, usually the drag with reward spending is reward spending sometimes ends up being big dollars. So we reward ourselves. And the truth of the matter is there's ways to reward myself that doesn't have anything to do with spending a ton of money. And I could just say, you know, it's springtime now and I pay off a credit card, let's say in March or June. I go, you know what I'm going to do on Saturday? I'm going to go up to that little creek. I'm just going to sit down there and take a lunch that I made, and I'll read my book in the sun, and I'll do that, and I'll say the whole time, I'm doing this because I paid off a credit card, and I want to reward myself. There's all kinds of things you can do to reward yourself that doesn't have to take up a lot of money. Reward spenders. The next one is attitude adjustment spender. There's 2 types of this. We said the very first week that money, all money is, it gives you the power to do. It's neutral. Money is neutral. So it gives me the power or ability to do. That's all it is. And so money becomes positive or negative, truthfully, on how we spend it. And so this comes into play with the first attitude adjustment spender. These are people that when they are depressed and they're sitting at home depressed, they say to themselves, I feel so horrible. I just think I'll go to the store. And they go out and buy something, and I'll tell you why. Because honestly, think of how money is the power to do. When you buy something, it makes you feel what? Great, man, with that card down, look at the power I've got. I've got power in my life. Because I'm depressed in everything else, but this card gives me power. And I buy it, and all day long, whatever it is, you love it. It's just so cool. And then you wake up the next morning going, ugh, what did I do? And then to add insult to injury, you get your bill in the mail. When your credit card comes up, you go, why did I go out that day? Because I was depressed, and depression is a powerless position. And so sometimes the way to get power is to spend money because money is the power to do it. It makes you have a false sense that I have power, and that's the wrong way to go about it. There's all kinds of spiritual principles to help you when you're in a powerless position, and depression, and we can talk about counseling and other things. But and we'd love to help you if you ever just want to come in for counseling, dealing with depression, because sometimes you can have an attitude adjustment. The other type of attitude adjustment, spender, doesn't have anything to do with depression. It has to do with this other word called anger. I'll give you the scenario. Husband and wife gets in an argument, a bad one. So one of them goes out of the house, and they're just mad, and they're driving down the road, and then in their anger they remember, oh yeah, I remember 3 weeks ago when I wanted to buy that thing, and they said no. I'll show them. Anger spender. So you go out and buy it, and as you're buying it, you said, I'm getting even. Ah, this is sweet. Until you drive into the driveway. And then you, for the first time, there's a sane thought. I don't really think this is going to help. And you haven't doubled your problems. You have multiplied them. Because all kinds of issues come up. You did what? Are you insane? What are you calling me insane for? And then the original issue's gone. And I'm just telling you, attitude adjustment spending, trying to think this through, I don't think it ever works. I just don't think it works. I think it always makes the situation worse. Attitude adjustment. And then there's my favorite, special interest spending. Special interest spender. This is the person who there's a certain area that they just love and they manage to spend money. And here's a bummer about special interest spending. Here's the bummer. They're usually big price tags. They just are. So there's this area or item that you want, or you've got some hobby that you spend continuously on. It can even be food, where you say, oh, I only want the special cut of meat, or the special this, and you go and spend tons of money on it. And if you did a spending plan, and you wrote up where you spent all your money, you'd realize, wow, I spend a disproportionate large amount of money on groceries. And it's wonderful, because you justify it all by saying, but it's making me healthy. Grow your own vegetables. Come on, who cares? But let me just tell you about special interest spenders. I know special interest spenders because I have 5 shotguns. And why? You can only use one at a time. You always need a backup in case it breaks when you're out for a week hunting birds. I even have them in my office on a wall mount, so I see them all the time. My shotguns, which are right next to my 6 fly fishing poles. So go figure. And that's why I really do walk through Scheels and Cabela's and that without my wallet. Yes, I do it. Don't bring a wallet in, Scott, because you just might do something. But special interest spenders, it can get you in many ways. It can get you in many ways. The last one I'm just going to talk, and there's all kinds that can be out there, but I just took a few. This is called status spenders. Status spenders. Let me explain to you how it happens in its devious, simple way. I go out to buy a car. Let me think. Is this where I talk about this? Yeah, it's present-day spending. Yeah, I'll talk about this first. When I go out to buy a car and they say, well, how much are your house payments? How much debt are you in? They do all this math and stuff like that. And then they look at you and they say this. You can qualify for a $35,000 car. You go, great, and I got $5,000 on my trade-in, so I can get a $40,000 car. I can tell you this. Whatever you qualify for, don't ever spend. Divided by 2. Why do you want to? Because they'll get you to your hilt, so you're buried. So what you do, you know, we're not done yet, status spenders. You go out and buy the 20, but you don't want to be seen in a $20,000 used car. So then you trick it out to make it look more expensive. So people, when they first see it, they'll go, oh, that's a BMW. No, it's not. It's not, but you want to trick them out because here's what we say. What I buy reflects on who I am. Whether it's clothes, whether it's what I drive. And once again, advertising sells this over and over again. What I drive, what I wear, where I go reflects on who I am and my significance. And I just want you to know nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. It actually says in Proverbs, the rich man has many friends and the poor man has none. Sure, if you think you've got a lot of money and you're spending and buying everyone drinks on Friday night at the bar and that kind of stuff, aren't I special? They all like me. No, they don't. They like you for the moment. And I'm just saying, status spenders, you've got to kind of think about this. The problem is when my present spending is impacted directly by my past, so that I am all of a sudden realizing I can't spend the way I used to. And you have to start making cuts. I remember years ago I was thinking about this. We were in a tight financial condition, and I added up my $1.56 Diet Coke from McDonald's that I got every day. And you add that up, and I'm going, what? I'm spending $55 a day? Are you kidding? And so you find ways to cut. One of my kids, they got in this tough financial position, and we were talking to them about it, and they looked at us and said, yeah, you know, we dropped our cable down to 10 stations. They don't even advertise this, by the way. At any place you go on AT&T, Dish, or DirecTV, they don't really even advertise the 10-station package. They got it. And I said, 10, and I thought to myself, why do you have that tone in your voice? There's hundreds of stations. How could you possibly live with just 10? That's what my tone conveyed, and they just looked at me and go, really, Dad? I go, okay, sorry. That was a good move. So we just confined. I mean, if I'm in a great deal of debt and I'm paying off 3 credit cards, I can guarantee you a place you should never visit is Starbucks. There's all kinds of small things you can change to save money or to stop spending money so you can pay off debt. Okay? I told you this wasn't going to be fun. And we taught our children growing up, what I called, which a lot of places talk about, it's called the 10-10-80. So we said, first off, you honor God with 10%. And I know if you were with us last week, I talk about 10% is not really the figure that God talks about. But when you're younger, it's easier to explain than giving your best. And as they get older, I try to explain the other one to them. So I said, you honor God first with 10%, and then you save 10, and you live on 80. So I drilled this into the kids' lives growing up and that kind of stuff, and I've got great savers. I've got great savers in that one area. And I told my kids, actually, when they were at home, I said, you know, because you're living at home and not paying for your place to live and that kind of stuff, you probably should be, you know, at 10, 40, 50. Because you could save way more. You could save way more. And the reason I say that is this. Parents, every parent in here, it is your job and no one else's to teach your kids how to handle money. And if you don't, most likely no one will. And I'll tell you, that interest thing, you get on the wrong escalator, it'll kill you. And so if you're a parent and your kids are somewhat younger, you can go up online and say, teaching finances to elementary children, and you will have tons of resources for free on how to do it. Tons of them. I started talking about the 10-10-8 to my kids when they started in junior high school and they started working. I said, and you then also have a life that mirrors it. Because it won't work well if you don't. And I just want to tell you, our culture is in a problem with finances because I don't think we as parents did a great job of teaching our children. And it just went crazy. This is just a brief overview on present spending. I want to say once again, the Financial Peace University, we do believe it is one of the best ones out there. We're going to have a 10-week seminar here. And I just got to tell you, please check it out. You may have taken a year, 2 years, or 3 years to get in the financial condition you're in. I believe it would be worth 10 once a week for 10 weeks. So it's in your bulletin. You can look at it. You can sign up. There's a beginning meeting. There's one on the 4th and one on the 15th to find out what the 10 weeks is going to take. I would strongly encourage you to sign up for it. Sign up for it. They'll help you far beyond anything I could do here. So let's just wrap this up with the future spending. Future spending. Future spending is what I call savings. Future spending, savings. Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man saves for the what? But the spends. It's weird. And by the way, the Proverbs has a ton of stuff on finances, the book of Proverbs. In its entirety, it has a bunch of it in it. So wisdom means I save, and I believe saving is a muscle. So you could go, Scott, you can't believe what kind of debt I'm in. There's no way I can save. I would say there's no way you can't save. You've got to save. You don't want that muscle to atrophy. Just put $5 aside a month. Do you understand? $5, two Starbucks. Put it aside in a savings account. Now, I always recommend when you do these savings accounts, not to have them linked to your ATM card because that's too easy. There has to be an extra step before you spend it. So that's called future spending. And once again, interest, though our interest side of the interest escalator. So I'm going up because I put money in and then I just sit there and it accumulates. And so that's why you want to be on the savings side of the interest escalator, not the debt side. Not the debt side. And so what it means is I call it future spending because I'm putting aside money in the present for something I need in the future. Does that make sense? Let me ask you. No raising of hands. You got a car? And you go, well, yeah. I've noticed with cars there's reoccurring expenses that need to be done. Let's take tires. So let's say you get your tires rotated and they say, you know, you probably only have about 10,000 more miles left on your tires, which is about a year. You go, really? And you say to yourself, okay, how much is it for new tires? $600. Okay, great. That's a car, not an SUV. SUV, way more. Here's the illustration. Do you pay before? Or are you going to pay later? Because here's how you pay before. Pay before means that's about $50 a month. I'm going to put $50 a month. Or even if you don't have 50, 25, at least half of it's paid. $50 a month aside every month because I know I'm going to pay for it down the road. You know that. You're going to buy. You can get it maybe a year and a half on bald tires, but you're going to buy new ones. So you put it aside every month in the future. If you do that, guess what happens when you have to buy tires? Total freedom. You bet. Put the money down and you pay for it and you drive out of there going, whoo, I need a reward. And you drive to your little stream and you drive to your little stream and do whatever you want to at the stream. Hopefully you have cell phone connection so you can sit there and just do your Facebook on your phone out in God's creation. That's not weird. Here's the other problem, though. If you don't save for it, then you're going to pay for it later. And then you're going to get debt, and you're going to increase the speed of the debt escalator. And then you're going to have stress. And you knew all along you were going to have to buy them. Like I said, you may not be able to afford 50, but you can afford something to eliminate the speed of that debt escalator as it goes down. Here's one of the things. I have had some great, over 30 years, people come into my office and share with me their problems that I have to use every part of my willpower, which isn't much, to not literally just laugh my head off. No, not all of them. Most of them are pretty tragic, and I would never do that. But some of them, you're going, are you kidding? You're actually telling me this? Huh. Wow. Here's one I have never had ever in my life. Ever. Ever, ever. I've never had this couple come into my office. Let's put them in their 50s. And they come in and they say, dang it, we are so bummed. And I'm going, ooh, problem with a kid or marriage, or work, or health? What's going on? Tell me what's going on. Man, we are so bummed because over our life, we saved a bunch of money, and we have a ton of money in savings. Can you tell me what to do with it? Oh, I would love that one. I've never heard anyone regret saving money. Not one. I have never heard of one. And there are more than I can tell you I've had in my office who have regretted the hole they've gotten into. Yes, some of it is outside of their control. There's health issues that come up and things like that. But a lot of it is we are not spending our money wisely. And this is just between you. And if it's just you or you if you're married, I think God's principles work. They work in this area. And I would just encourage you to believe that. Remember this, it says. Remember this. The person who plants a little will have a small harvest. And the person who plants a lot will have a big harvest. And if I plant a harvest, whether it's savings or spending money wisely, I will find that if I plant that way to spend my money wisely in a big way, I will have far less stress. Even sometimes when I get in debt because of the weird car accident or the weird something that happened or a tire shredded out and I have to put it on a credit card for a while, because I've got God's principles. I go, I know how to do this. Take it out of my wallet, snowball it if there's more than one. Oh, I've got some principles. I don't feel helpless or hopeless. And that's what God's principles want to do for your life. Anyway, we end our, we probably should teach on this 5 times a year probably, because it really is a big issue in many of our lives. But trust me on the principle. If I work ethically and plant that over and over again, if I honor God over and over again, and I learn to spend money again, planting wisely over and over again, you will have a great harvest, especially as you get older. A great harvest. Because his principles do work. Trust me, the goodness of God, he is for you. Let's pray. As we're at prayer, I just want you to just think about which kind of spender might you be. You can ask someone about it after you leave here. Impulse, compulsive, reward, attitude adjustment, special interest, status, something else. What kind of spender are you? Just talk to God about that right now. Heavenly Father, I wish there was some magic principle, some magic pill that could get us out, that we could all win the lottery. It's not going to happen. And many of us, some of us are in debt because of things other people have done. And that's hard, but many of us are in debt because we just let it go to our head. We didn't consider it, look at it closely. And we found ourselves in just a very difficult situation. And you're a God that breathes hope and life into us. And God, I ask that you do that this week as people wrestle with, as they think about this principle this week, as they did the last two. What kind of spender am I? Maybe we do need to get a little spreadsheet on our computer. Start writing in everything we spend. Father, help us to spend money wisely and to enjoy the goodness of God as we harvest good instead of stress and strife and loss of sleep. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, I've seen the preview of Easter. It's going to be crazy good. So I look forward to seeing you here at one of our services. Bring a friend. See you then. Bye.